Welcome to Flip the Score podcast. I am Andrew.
I'm
I'm
Alex.
Josh. I'm
Oh
Josh. I
my
didn't know
God.
who's
Wow.
Gonna say
I'm
we are not practiced.
I'm Josh. I'm Chalix. I'm Jalix. Yeah.
And sorry, do not adjust your podcast app. I'm doing the hosting duties tonight because this is our, I don't know, did we even do like a game of the year thing last year?
We
Did
totally did.
we actually say like this is our game, like game of the
Yeah,
year?
I'm
Okay.
pretty sure we
Then
did.
here is
Yeah.
our second annual game of the year
21 goatees. It's the
podcast. Yeah.
goatees.
And it's been a hot minute. You know, it's
It
been
has
a
been
while because
some
since we've
time.
done, you know, we've done a podcast. Anytime I hear it's been a while, I just
It's
think of the
just
Staind song.
it's been a while from there.
Guys,
Yeah.
we are in the future right now. We are in
We are.
2022.
Yes.
It is
There's
crazy.
flying cars, there's
C-Lab 2021 no
cybernetics.
longer exists. That is a
Yes.
fake reality, and it makes me
Yep.
sad.
Yep, COVID's gone.
Yeah,
Or
it's
right?
crazy. It
Yeah.
just went away like that. Crazy.
Unfortunately, super COVID is here, so we have to deal with that.
Oh no! It's like the cell sag all
It
over
evolved.
again.
Yep.
Fuck.
But yeah, so we have eight categories here. And we're gonna go over them. I don't think we really have any news today. So we're just gonna do that and we'll talk about what we
No.
yeah,
None.
we'll talk
Not
about
really.
what we've been playing.
Yes.
But before we start, I just want to start off 2022 with just it's technically a new story, but it's just a story to piss us off, okay? And here's I'm just gonna read the headline and we'll move on.
God.
Samsung's 2022 TVs will have built-in Stadia, GeForce Now, and NFTs.
Mean built-in NFTs? Am I just gonna be able to buy a monkey or whatever
Listen,
the fuck is that?
I'm so pissed off the headline, I refuse to read the story, so I don't
We're not
care.
going to read the story, but all I'm going to tell you is like, oh, so they're just going to build Stadia into things, hoping
Yes.
people will play it. Which, okay,
And
cool.
if you ask Square Enix, this is the year where NFTs come into gaming for real. You know, because it's for the quote, people who play games to have fun.
Quote.
That I don't know if you read that.
Quote. I
I don't know if
did. I
yes.
did.
Because now they're going to
What the
become
hell?
what was it? What was their wording for it? Play like they play to engage or whatever, play to make money, like something like that. Some bullshit thing where everyone's like, fuck off. Like get out of here with this bullshit.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it.
I would hope that these TVs, it just shows you a picture of like someone from Samsung just laughing and pointing at you. That
Pulling down their pants
yeah.
and just showing you their asshole.
NFT stands for not fucking true. These
Yes.
things these things do have no value. They are not true, they are fake. It's a digital product. And you know, technically when I buy a digital game, you know, I'm buying a almost like a form of of an NFT. But you know, it might be an FT. It could be a fungible token. I don't know what makes something non-fungible. What does
Can we
fungible
just
even fucking mean?
I'm sorry I read this story. Can we just move on?
You
This is
never had
pretty
to. So let's just
rough.
talk about video games we've been playing that don't have NFTs in
Yeah,
them.
let's you know, since it's been a little while, we have been I assume we've been doing a little gaming here and there over the last few weeks. So Alex, what have you been playing?
So I finished Halo Infinite. It took me about 20 hours.
Nice.
I got everything except the all the audio logs, the propaganda towers. There might be something else,
I'm
but I
gonna guess
got
you don't have all the skulls as well.
all the skulls, that's the other one. I
Yeah.
have everything else. I have high value targets, all the FOBs, all the squads, all the high value targets, all the banished logs, which I didn't mean to get, but I got because you kind of find them everywhere.
That's the same as me. I have everything other than the human logs, all the fucking radio towers, and then the skulls.
Yeah, I love how, okay. So I will give my just straight up answer. I think this is probably my favorite Halo game because it combines two of my favorite things in Halo. One, it lets me use every variety of weapon any way I want against anything, which is something I really liked about Halo. Two.
But okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, how often do you like, because when I play, I have two weapons I use, and that's it.
Well, I mean, I did, but at other times, like I kept unlocking weapons and finding weapons all over that I would keep one. I would always go in with a battle rifle and a secondary weapon, whatever it could be. When I started unlocking the rocket launchers and the snipers, I would bring those with, but I always find other stuff
Yeah.
too. I'd keep a secondary on me while also keep, especially when towards the end, I started to have to use more of the hard light weapons. So I was at a hard light and a battle rifle, because the battle rifle was just really fucking awesome. It's the best gun in the game. I was killing fools left and right.
Because maybe I'm doing what they didn't necessarily intend is, like, if I unlock a forward operating base, I will go do, like, say, like, I don't know, if there's something next to it, some, like, there's a blip on the left, a blip on the right of it. Mm-hmm. I'll go do the blip on the left, whatever it is, be it a target or a collectible or whatever. And if any ammo that I use on the way to that thing, I will just fast travel back to the FOB and then replenish all ammo, then head to the second spot.
Oh, I never did that, but I did that to, like, get back a battle rifle if I lost
ammo. Yeah, so that way, like, I'm always, like, up at the most, like, sniper, because I go on with battle rifle and sniper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm always, like, battle rifle up close, sniper long distance.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I really like the special variations of some of the weapons.
Yeah, and they look pretty cool.
So,
but my problem is that the special BR has less ammo.
Yeah, but it has
really annoying.
It had more stopping power though, so you're actually, as long as your shots are spot on, you're actually getting more damage. You're getting more bang for your buck. But I also really like using the special commando, because I had a 40 round clip, and it was more powerful.
Yeah. So what, two, Alex?
My number two is, it let me explore the world of Halo. Like, I literally explored the world. Every time you always see those giant structures, I just wanted to climb them, and I did.
Yeah.
I never found anything, but I was like, Jesus Christ, I can get all the way up here? This is so much fun. So let me ask you, did you get to the last part of the map yet? Bottom of the map?
I'm on the mission where I've not been it yet. So I'm on the mission where I have to go to the four big to be able to get into the main one. I think I'm on the bottom of the map.
You're saying, like, you have to go in. Are you going in and you're learning stuff about the new race, about the new people, new baddies?
I think so, because let's just say.
Are you clearing out something to go into a smaller tower to get down in the hit?
No, because I was going to Cortana 2 took me to a building. And she was like, this will be easy. And then she snaps and nothing happens. And there's a code to get in here, but I don't have the code. So we have to go to these four pillars or these four buildings. Yeah.
Okay. So you're learning more along. You're getting more audio logs in each one where you're learning more.
Yeah.
About.
And I've done one of the pillars. So
okay.
Far,
so So you are on the command spire. You still have a bit to go. Okay. Well, you know what? So once you unlock the Wasp, I went and I literally, so this is how I played it. I got everything in the areas before I ever did the mission. I literally, at the end, I just got my Wasp and I flew around all of the map, picked up everything I didn't get, all the targets, all the other stuff. And then I went through and just beat the story. I maxed out everything. I maxed out all of the, I got all the Mjolnir armors, got all the armor cores. I've got everything maxed out. I got everything from multiplayer. So it also, you know, like I said before, we got off a tangent. I like that it let me explore everything in that game, and I literally explored everything in that game. And it just combined my, you know, sense of wonder with also the gameplay of Halo, and I think it really captured all of that. Outside of the story, it's fine. The story is okay. I really wish you were told more of, like, okay, so here's what happened in the previous Halos, so you're not lost sometimes.
Yeah.
But I like where they're going with this. I like that there is a end credit sequence that sets up for some DLC, which I think is awesome. I like the new baddie. I think she's fucking cool. I don't know anything about her yet.
Where I am in the game.
You don't really know much about her, but you know that she's bad and that she's looking for some other bad people, and those other bad people seem pretty dope. And they keep talking like the worst in the Flood, so that makes me pretty stoked.
Yeah.
I am upset that you don't see the Flood. I'm just going to tell you that now. You're not going to. Mm-hmm. Just so you're aware. I was upset. I wish I would have seen a little bit. That would have just been cool, because I think the Flood is creepy and weird.
Yeah.
But the story is setting up for something for the future, which I think is awesome. I think it's going to give a little bit more depth. I really enjoyed all of the mini bosses, all of the high value targets. I like the banter between your Spartan or between your Marines. And I really think that this round of grunts are hilarious and so weird.
Yeah. And
constantly hearing them like run at me with grenades going, I didn't mean to turn this on! And
yeah.
Blowing himself up and just hearing, just like, it seems like such a lively world in a place that seems so fucking open all the time. Because they're in longer stretches where you're not going to really see much, you're not going to really see enemies. But when you do, when you come across their encampments, it really does feel like the world is lived in, because you just hear them talking and all the conversations. And then once you get to the propaganda towers, and those are fucking hilarious. Did you guys ever come across these large structures with brutes in front of them that also had voices talking out of it? I don't know what the hell they were.
I found one of them, but
They're not a collectible or anything.
Yeah, you can't scan it. You can't do it. I don't know what it is.
Which is pretty cool, because it's just more cool propaganda that I like to hear from them.
Yeah.
I think that the grapple hook might be one of the coolest inventions in the game in a long time.
Yeah, it's a very good grapple hook, yeah.
Just everything you can do with it is so fun. I really did feel like a badass where I was able to just zip line from all over the place. It does have its faults. It felt a little long in the tooth sometimes. The pilot can stop at any point, please.
Yeah, I was going to talk about him in a minute, but first I'm going to say I don't like the audio logs.
Some of them I like.
I think they're weird, especially the banished ones are just just this really low voiced.
Just talking to you while we're all the time.
You're just like, dude, half this stuff I don't even understand you.
Like some of that was a little.
And then the human ones are just like. Trying to give you exposition of stuff that happened between 5 and Infinite, and it's just not good at doing it.
No, I agree.
But for the pilot, I think it's a weird juxtaposition to have him be like, "We gotta go home, Chief. We can't be here. We gotta get out. This is insane." And then when you go like bring in like a warthog, you got like 3 Marines that are like, "Let's go fuck shit up, bro."
Right. It's just like it's such a weird like. Night and day type of thing. And like towards the end he kind of becomes a little bit cool, a little bit better of a character. I still didn't think he was great. It'll be interesting to see how they develop him further. I do really like the weapon.
I was kind of hoping that they're gonna develop his grave further, like he just fucking die.
I thought he was gonna die at some points, but I like the new Cortana. I think she's very funny. She has a lot of.
Let me just ask you this: do they ever give her a name?
No, but it's implied at the end. But it's also not implied at the same time, right, Josh? It's kind of like I know the perfect name. Well, what is it, bitch?
Yeah, it's they're kind of giving themselves room to where if they decide to, they can give her something else other than Cortana.
Cortana with a K.
One of the biggest things that took me out of it was that you kept hearing brutes over intercoms being like, "We need to get all the humans off this Halo," but yet there's dozens and dozens of humans being held captive. Why not just kill them?
Yeah,
it's like they weren't using them for slave labor, so why not just kill them? Why, you know? That's the one thing that kind of took me out of it. It's like, well, why are you guys? Because like Master Chief baseball slides in there and then he releases some Marines that start fucking shit up. It's like the Bruce, you know, it kind of like the whole Austin Powers thing of like when Dr. Evil's son was looking at him like, "Dad, I have a gun right now. I can go get it. We can kill them right now." And Dr. Evil was like, "No, you know, I have a plan." And someone was like, Was that the brutes thing? "I have a plan, you know, we're gonna leave these humans alive." It's like, what's the point? I mean, maybe I was kinda going too far into it, but
yeah, I thought it was weird too. That they're just like there in these camps, just like tied up or whatever, not doing anything with them, and as soon as you break them out, they just magically find guns like sitting right at their feet that they just grab and go start killing people.
It has its flaws, you know, with the character building and some of the story, But the gameplay itself, I really couldn't find a problem with a lot of it. Honestly, like, it would be cool if I could get a couple more items on your FOB, where I could get maybe not a wasp, I could maybe drive one of those pelicans or something, you know, something different once in a while. But it's not like it's you know, a deal breaker or anything.
What was the other human flyable? What was that, Hornet? And the Hornet's not in this, right?
Correct. I don't know if it's not in it, but I know the Hornet is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I really like this game. I'm glad I put the hours I did into it. I'm glad it gave me what I wanted out of it, because everything when I went to go find it seemed natural and didn't seem like it was too hard of a problem. A lot of the stuff, a lot of those like FOBs and the, not FOBs, I'm sorry, the Molnir armors and the cores were sometimes in these cool little like inlet cave areas built into the side of mountains that I thought was really cool use of terrain that you kind of had to really fly into or walk into. I flew most of the time. So you get in there and you go walk in and you find it. It reminded me a lot of what Destiny does with their Lost Sectors and cool discoverable stuff. And I like that. I think they have a really good set piece here to start going to the future with Halo. And it deserved every nine it's got. It deserved every good thing it's got. I can't wait to hear more about DLC, which I'm sure we're going to hear about this year. I'm sure they're working on it. I'm sure they have been working on it.
Maybe they haven't given any semblance of like.
Well, I mean, there's
hinted there during DLC though.
But it's heavily fucking implied.
Yeah, and there's going to have to be, because they 343 have themselves said that this Halo Infinite is going to be a 10-year base for a game, that there will not be a new Halo game. I've heard that
before.
No, I know, but I really think that they're serious about this, that there will not be a new Halo game for 10 years, that they're going to build upon this.
I just don't believe that. I don't know. I think that they could easily release another game in the Halo Infinite and just say, like, here's a $60 DLC. Like, it's a whole new game in Halo Infinite. But anyway, we're getting here.
Yeah,
what else did you play, Alex?
Let's see. One second. So Jack ended up getting a Xbox Series S for Christmas. He was able to find one and bought it for his Christmas present. So I was like, okay, great, man. Awesome. Glad you found this, because it was crazy that you did. I'm like, hey, check out Destiny. And now I made him fall in love with Destiny. I'm very happy because I have someone to play Destiny 2 with. Oh my god, you guys have no idea how happy I am.
You're an evil person.
Fuck you. It's not. It's the perfect game for him.
Uh-huh. Sure.
It's a great. My biggest complaint I ever had of playing Destiny, everything is really fun about it. I don't give a shit about the story because the grind is fun and the questing is fun. I never had anybody play with him. Actually, having someone to coordinate and play with this game is so fucking cool. I haven't played a lot of it. Right now we're both at the soft cap level. So there's three different cap levels. There's the soft cap, there's the power cap, and then there's like, I don't know, super power cap, whatever you want to call it. We need to make it to 1320 to get to the high cap to start raids, and then 1330 is where you can boost your stuff. So it's going to be a grind. And the next expansion is the Witch Queen, which come out in February.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of a time to get there. So hopefully we get there, but that'll be a work in progress. Another game, actually another two games. So for the last year, I've put in about 20 hours of Pokemon Sword. Just like, you know, every couple weeks or something, I'll play a gym. Well, I finished up the gyms. I'm going on to the Champions Cup or whatever it's called. I'll probably poke at that again and get that done.
I'm not going to lie. This is a very depressing what I've been playing.
I mean, I've had a lot of time.
Destiny and Pokemon Storm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is pretty depressing. And then the other one is a game that I kind of played the last couple of days. I'm still kind of getting hang of it. It's called Lake. It is on Game Pass.
Oh, I've heard about this.
It's an indie game, and mm-hmm. it's made by somebody, and I don't remember who it's called. It's hard to find this game. But basically, you are it's a game about Meredith Weiss, a successful businesswoman who returns to her hometown after a long absence, spending 2 weeks there as a letter carrier. So it's real simple. Your dad is a letter carrier. He passes it on to you for 2 weeks while they go and do, I don't know, fuck or something. I don't know. What do people do in the 80s?
So he takes like a 2 week PTO vacation and he just
essentially
like, he throws the shit at you to do it.
Yep. It's called Providence Oaks and it's in Oregon. So it's basically it's just this town that's surrounded by a lake. And you are just going around delivering packages and mail to people. So you also get side quests of like this crazy cat lady wanted me to take her cat to the cat person. So I did that and that was pretty fun. She's crazy. It gives you, you know, it's got your dialogue wheel where you know, you get a couple options. There's romance. I'm talking to this cute little lady that works at the video store in the town, and I'm watching some movies on her recommendation, and it's got movies that are like, you know, plays on popular ones. For instance, it's called Back to the Present instead of Back to the Future, which that's funny. There's a Ghostbusters one that has those weird looking sperm character that looks like a marshmallow man or a scary ghost. It's very weird. But it's really easy, man. All you do is you just drive to these locations on your map to deliver either a package or a letter. Sometimes you're going to meet up with people at houses, like I met with my her
ex. What's the camera like? So when you're playing,
it's just third person. It's like a third person game.
Okay.
It's yeah, you know, it's very relaxing. It's an interesting. They have interesting relationships, and
yeah,
they remember you from being there 20 something years ago. Which, if this is based in the 80s, which I believe is what it's supposed to, I think it said 87 or 88. So that means she lived in the 60s. And small rant here. Think about this: from 1967 to 1987, the world changed so much that just blows my mind. Like, you went where the Beatles were extremely popular and came back when Metallica mattered. Like, that's weird. That's just weird to me the fuck out sometimes. But, you know, so sometimes you're getting calls from your, because, you know, you'll do a day's work of, you know, running these places, doing this stuff. Then you go home. My first night I watched some television. My second night I watched a movie that the neat lady at the job place wanted me to do. And also you can go on dates. I'm going on a date with the lady from the video store and the weird,
Does Sarah know?
Not yet, but she just heard me. I'm also going on a date with this guy who's a lumberjack who lives nowhere and somehow forgets people exist. It's really weird the way he talks.
I'm wearing the flannel right now. Does that put me in Alex's crosshairs?
Yes, it does.
Is this a Game Pass game?
Yes, it is. Nice. It's, you know, it's like less than 10 gigabytes. It's real easy. Nice. It's got nice characters. It's a really just charming, cool game that I hope to complete here in the next couple of weeks. It's just a nice little story about going back to the way you come from and like dealing with childhood drama or anything. Just like reliving your childhood, meeting people from your past, kind of just catching you up. It's nice. It's a nice game. It is actually pretty cool. Is that it? Fuck, what else? Is that it? Yeah, that must be it. Yeah, I believe that is it, actually.
Nice. Yes. All right, Josh, what do you got?
I also finished Halo. I think we pretty much said everything we need to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite Halo of all time, but it's definitely up there. And I also not my favorite Halo storyline of all time, but again, it, you know, it is up there with the best.
I mean, I think it's a win that you can put it in the category of like 1, 2, and 3.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
And I think it's definitely a return to form in terms of the gameplay. Yeah. So, other than that, I have been playing Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm really liking the game. I'm on chapter 9 now.
How many chapters are there again? I'm sorry.
16.
Oh, right.
So I'm a little more than halfway through the game. It's weird. I didn't think a game would, you know, really make me care about some of the characters, and you know, there's been some parts to where it's been, you know, a little, I wouldn't say tear jerky, but definitely like, it definitely makes me care about this person.
Yeah, it definitely makes you feel your feelings.
Yeah, I'm playing on normal. There's been a couple parts where it's been a little difficult, where I've died a couple of times, but it's not too frustrating. And that's That's really all I've been playing.
I think the next time I see Guardians on sale, I think I'm gonna pick it up. Because it's like I always get the superhero itch because I'm always watching Marvel something or coming across it. And then last night I watched Endgame and it got to the part where Cap says Avengers Assemble and I get so happy. I literally use goosebumps. Yes. I'm getting them now.
Yep.
That is one of the top five moments in cinema history. Anytime I watch anything like that, it's like, dude, I just want to play all of these characters and I just want to learn. And every time, and I've heard nothing but people tell me how good the story is of that.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to finally pull the trigger when I get a chance because I really need to experience that.
Yes. Have you, you probably have not gotten a chance to Spider-Man yet, have you?
No, but I know what happens and I really need to go this week.
Dude, because you're talking about greatest scenes in cinema history. I think there's one in that too. So
there is too, and I know about it.
Yeah.
I had to listen to kind of funny talk about it.
I
couldn't because I was just like, man, I don't know what I'm gonna see this. And like, oh, just, have you guys seen it?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Yes. I actually went opening night.
Did you really?
Yeah, to see That's it. Cool. Yep. It was cool being in a theater and like when certain things happen on the screen, like seeing like people in the theater hop to their feet just like cheering. Like
that's dope.
Yep.
Back to Guardians. It's easy for me to forget that the story is based on comic book material and not the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so there's certain times that stuff happens in the game to where like I'm like, oh yeah, let's Star-Lord didn't get abducted by Yondu when he was a teenager. You know, it happened different in the movie.
But I will say that how they interact with each other is heavily influenced by the MCU films.
I would say so, because I mean if those movies were to never happen, I think this game would look very different.
Yeah.
Okay.
If this game would have ever been made without the movies, I mean, who knows? But it does make me want to go at some point play the Telltale Guardians of the Galaxy game and see if that's any good.
Oh yeah, I forgot they did one of those. Was theirs based on the movies though?
No, it wasn't. It was kind of like the same thing, their own take.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Is that it for you?
Yes.
All right. So what I've been playing is more Halo. There's nights where I put a lot into it and then I won't play it for like a week because I'm just doing other stuff.
I spent my New Year's Eve playing it.
Yeah. My last, I played a little bit last night and I told myself like, all right, I'm done doing anything side stuff. I'm just going to play the story. And then I started playing it. I was like, I can't, I got to get that target over there. What if he goes to kill more Marines, you know?
Yep.
So I've been having a blast with that. I've been playing more Apex because this is my Achilles heel is I'll get on, I'll be like, I'm going to play Halo or whatever. And then I'll start playing. And then I'm always on Discord, my buddies. And then one of them inevitably will be like, Apex anyone? And I'm always like, I that call. I just always hop on Apex with them. I got my 50th win with Lifeline. Last week. Yeah. A lot of fun with this new I guess it's not technically new anymore, but the season that's going on right now, I think we're like halfway through it. And then other than that, I have been on a Witcher kick because basic bitch, I went and downloaded Witcher 3 after watching some of the new season of Witcher. I remember putting this in the chat, but it runs so good on the Series X. It is still that runs at a full 4K 60 frames on the Series X, and it is like playing. It is like if CD Projekt Red came out with a remaster of where it would look, might be what it would look like, and it's so good. I haven't seen any like drastic frame drop or any at all. I'm not. But yeah, it's just a blast going back and playing it. And that is pretty much what I've been playing. So what do y'all say we start these categories?
Okay. What do you want to start?
I think we'll just start at the bottom. We'll get some of these small ones out of the way. We're going to start with your best TV shows that you guys watched this year.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a Alex, you're kind of muffled right now.
Am I better?
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
There was a lot of good TV this year. A lot of good Netflix, Disney shows, Hulu, Amazon Prime, what have you. So I'm going to go ahead with my number three, and then we'll just, you know, do round robin style here. My number three is my runner up here, Squid Game.
Really?
Netflix TV show. I don't know if you guys watched this. I thought it was quite good. I'm not sure if I would say it was as great as some of the people were saying. It's like, you know, best TV show ever, whatever. I think it was kind of caught up in its own hype, but it was still a very good TV show. You guys,
I have not watched it.
Yeah, I don't really want to. Like, okay. And the reason why is because I don't, not the biggest fan of dubbed foreign films. It's just it's just hard for me.
I would say this is one, even though I hate shows with subtitles. This is one you have to watch with subtitles.
That's the thing, I watch with subtitles. I'm literally watching Encanto for like the seventh time again, and I'm just wondering you're watching it. And it's on subtitles, but it's like I think it's because it's like it's a foreign film, and some of the foreign films just kind of like drew me off sometimes. But yeah,
but this one it's I don't know. It's just like I'm with you. I don't like foreign films either, but this one, even watching with subtitles, what I hate doing, I was still like, I gotta watch the next one. Gotta watch the next one.
That's the sign of a good show if you have to watch the next one.
Yeah. Josh, what's your three?
I will say you guys are hate my number one, but I will do my number three. Number three, WandaVision. I really enjoyed that this year.
Nice.
It's been a million years. I forgot that
one.
I know. Doesn't feel like it, right?
One thing that I think Andrew didn't like was the whole, you know, they're bringing in an X-Man, but he turned out to not be an X-Man. But I actually did like that. It was a nice switcheroo.
Yeah.
I love
Evan Peters. I think he's an awesome actor. So like seeing him do anything is just pretty cool.
Yeah.
I also, you know, I like Wanda, her performance. Leah, the chick who played the baddie, Agatha Lockhart. I thought she did a really good job.
Yep. Yeah, I think she might be getting her own Disney Plus show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, I mean, you know, Paul Bettany's Vision did a really good job too. So.
Yeah. Yep. Alex, three.
Excuse me. My three, you're probably not gonna like it. My third is Cobra Kai, season four of Cobra Kai.
Oh, what do you mean we won't like it, dude? That is one of my favorite TV shows.
I would guess probably have it higher, but my other two are I like them.
Oh
more.
Well,
dude. Okay, did you guys both watch it yet?
No,
not. I've seen episode one of the new season.
You guys need to fucking finish it. Oh my god.
I know.
It's slow in parts, but dude, the last two episodes are fucking
I know.
Crazy.
I've heard that the last fights are really good, and I
dude,
also
the
heard
the ending is gnarly.
I also heard that one of my favorite characters makes a return, good old Stingray.
dude. He shows up in the last two or three episodes.
Okay.
And it is bananas, dude.
Who the fuck is Stingray?
Stingray was that like 35-year-old guy in season two that like.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he in the school and he was beating up those kids.
Yeah, he probably spent time in prison for child abuse.
Yeah, probably.
But it was a really, really good season.
Did season three come out in 21?
No, yes. It came out. I thought it came out in December of 2019. I thought it came out in December of 2020.
I thought so also.
Oh yeah, it might have been 2020.
Yeah.
You're right.
But here's the thing though. This is not a show that had to come out this year that's your favorite though. Or in 21. It could have been any show that you watched for the first time last year that you can put on your list. Yeah.
That's true. I just thought we just finished season four like yesterday. It was so good that I was just like, oh, you know, I'll finish this episode and watch football. I'll watch football. I literally just finished it, and then I was like, okay, I'm not going to see the football. It was just, it was such an awesome, just cool show. I love
please,
it.
Please don't mention that F word. I'm so disappointed.
I know.
I was in the championship and I'm gonna lose.
Yep.
I know you guys weren't in the championship, but you know you guys are on the outside looking in.
But yes, Cobra Kai is my number three. I cannot wait. Dude, I cannot wait for season five. You guys need to finish it. It's so gnarly.
Yeah, I remember them saying that they were only going to do four seasons, but that was before.
No, sir.
I think that was before it got like crazy popular. Yes, so now they realize what they have. So yeah,
it's crazy.
I think the Netflix people went to fucking. I'm sorry, I'm blanking. I can't remember the guys' names. Ralph Macchio and the guy who plays Johnny Lawrence. But they went to him like, all right, how many zeros do you want us to write in this check? And they're in.
Yeah. By the way, so the dude that Kreese brings in season four, his buddy with like the long white hair, or whatever, he is actually in. So in Cobra Kai 3, he was like the one of the bad guys in the movie.
Whoa! You mean Karate Kid?
Sorry, Karate Kid. Karate Kid.
Yeah,
Karate Kid 3. This I don't remember the guy's name.
Terry Silver.
Yeah, Terry Silver. So he in the movie was supposed to be like 20 years older than Daniel LaRusso, but in real life, Ralph Macchio is like 3 years older than him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. Terry, the guy who plays Terry Silver, is actually 59, and Ralph Macchio is 62.
Dude, yeah. This dude is huge, man. Like,
yeah. He's done a great job keeping himself looking youthful.
Yeah.
Like, dude, Terry Silver is tall as fuck. Like, him standing against the crease is crazy.
He's 6'5". He's a beast.
But please go finish it.
I know. Me and my roommate are watching it, so I'll finish it.
Cuddle up with him and watch it, Andrew. Cuddle with him.
So my number two is good old Ted Lasso.
Oh my god, why I didn't even put Ted Lasso on here? I fucking love Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso has become one of my favorite shows. Season two,
he's there, he's every fucking player.
Season two isn't as good as the first season, but it's still pretty good. It's still fantastic television,
dude. I think I would watch many seasons of just Roy Kent doing shit.
Yeah.
Just doing anything. Roy Kent's some rules, dude.
Have you watched season two, Alex?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I've watched both seasons.
So they did announce that they're only doing three seasons of Ted Lasso.
That's fine. That's about as long as you can really do something like this. I think probably because with contracts,
because what's his name that plays Ted Lasso? I'm assuming that he's probably got like a ton of projects going on right now.
Well,
whatever.
So there's really only so much you can do with this kind of storyline because it's like, how much longer is it gonna get? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But dude, yeah, that's so fucking rules, man.
But season two really did like what was his name? The guy who was like the ball boy that he became assistant coach in season one.
Oh, dude, and they made him so fucking evil.
They did such a great job of taking a character who you rooted for in season one to make you fucking hate him in season two.
It is ridiculous. It's so like, oh god, yeah, this dude's a piece of shit.
Yeah, yep. Josh, your number?
My number two is Star Wars Visions.
Is that the anime series?
Yeah, this is on Disney Plus. I think it was like 10 episodes, and each episode they're all shorts. Each episode was like 8 to 12 minutes long. And Alex, you ever seen Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, I was gonna say similar to that, but if you've never seen it, but it's each episode is its own short. Some of the episodes, I want to say maybe two, maybe three of them were just okay, but there's several of them where like, man, this is really fucking cool, and if they made like a Star Wars project on this, that'd be badass. So a bunch of them were really stylistic. Some of them had some really awesome lightsaber fights. One is this really cool story about this Jedi Master and this Padawan who they go to this planet for I don't remember what reason, but they feel a disturbance, and The master stays behind for something, and the Padawan goes out to explore, and he comes upon this really old man, and this old man turns out to be a Sith Lord on the run, and it was really like almost like, you know, like Japanese inspired like samurai stuff, and it was really cool.
Cool. Alex, you're number two.
My number two is it's called Midnight Mass. So Midnight Mass.
Okay, yeah.
It is a miniseries released on Netflix in September, directed by Mac Flanagan. And actually, Mike Flanagan has done other stuff. He did, what did he do? Hold on a minute. He's doing, goddamn, what is he doing? He's doing, he did those other
horror shows on Netflix.
The Haunting of Bly Manor, yep. And he's also doing The Fall of the House of Usher. Which is fucking sick. I'm really stoked. But so this is a mini series about this young man who returns to his hometown island called the Crockett Island after serving 4 years in prison for killing someone in a drunk driving accident. And at the same time, a young priest comes to the island to take over for the older guy who has taken time off. And it's a horror movie, so it's got tons of horror tropes.
It's a show,
right? It's a horror.
I think it's like six episodes. I have not watched it, but I know that this is about vampires.
Yes, I'm just gonna say it does.
Yes.
In the way they portray what the vampire is just
and really. I mean, and it's got Rahul Kohli in it.
Yes, so. And he kicks fucking ass.
Yeah, Rahul's fucking great.
Yeah,
he does a lot of stuff like Alana and stuff.
He did iZombie and The Hunting of Black Manor with the other stuff. Yep. But he also has a lot of it is centered around religion. So like he's a Muslim priest who came to the island from somewhere to escape his life because his wife died. Blah 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 blah. And like his relationship with his son and religion and God is just really cool and. There's a lot of twists that I just did not expect. Yep. And the last couple episodes are just kind of bananas, dude.
And from what I've heard, this show is like a big middle finger to the Catholic religion. I'm pretty sure.
It really seems like I just really liked – I don't like horror movies all that much, but I really enjoyed a lot of this acting in it. And I like
I'm going to have to check it out for good things.
It's cool. It's cool. The I think it's pretty dope.
What's it on?
Netflix. Yep.
Okay.
My winner for this category goes to WandaVision. Nice! Yes, I loved WandaVision. I've watched all the Disney. Well, I can't say all. I actually did not finish the Falcon Winter Soldier yet.
Oh, I like that one.
But I have watched WandaVision, Loki, and Hawkeye. Okay. I think they're all great, but WandaVision takes it for me. My favorite two superheroes still left in MCU are Doctor Strange and Wanda.
Really?
Maybe it's just me, but my celebrity crush is Elizabeth Olsen. So,
by the way, do you guys want to know something embarrassing? I didn't realize she was an Olsen twin.
Oh, I think a lot of people don't realize she's not an Olsen twin,
but she's an Olsen.
She's your younger sister, but she goes on to like she doesn't even have much of a relationship with them because she's going on to say like she wants to be more than she wants to be known more than just the sister of the Olsen twins.
You know, real quick, do you guys remember growing up when the Olsen twins were turning 18? There's an online countdown for it.
Yeah, it was weird.
Scarlet Witch is just I think because they. She's so cool, especially in Endgame, when it's like she and they even say it in WandaVision how like she would have killed Thanos if someone hadn't interfered. Mm-hmm. Like she had him, you know. So like, yeah, her and Doctor Strange, I think, are the most interesting superheroes still left since Tony's dead and Chris Evans has left as Captain America. So.
I didn't personally like it all that much because it was kind of hard at times to kind of keep up with what the fuck was happening when they kept switching back and forth and it was like okay, and I'm not the biggest fan of WandaVision. I think she kicks ass as the character. I think Elizabeth Olsen is an amazing actress. It was cool, but it was at the same time a little bit like confusing, but I still think it was like a really good piece of of Marvel content. Yeah. I did like it better than Loki, I'll say that much.
Yeah. Josh, your winner.
All right, my number one, you know, I really like my procedurals. And my number one is CSI Vegas.
Hold on, wait. There's still a CSI?
Yes, there? Yes, there's and a new...
Vegas this time?
So it, the original CSI crime scene investigation was in Vegas. This is like, they're like Star Wars Force Awakening this shit. So it takes place several years after the show ended. You got some of the main characters back. You got Gil Grissom. You got shit. I don't remember what his wife's name is, but anyway,
fascinating.
Yeah. So it all revolves around one of the big lab.
What is Cinder? I never saw this winning.
One of the big lab techs from the original show, his name is David Hodges. He gets framed, and a lot of people think that he framed hundreds of people to go to jail. You know, using like DNA and evidence and stuff. And so then it's all about Gil Grissom teaming up with a bunch of newer CSI people. Don't ask me what their names are, because their names aren't important. And then
I agree, they aren't important.
So he teams up with a bunch of new CSI people, and then they figure shit out. It's something that I got good at watching CSI, and when this came back on, I started watching it, and I really enjoyed it. So
I'm more surprised it came back. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I mean, CSI was huge back in the day, so I'm not surprised that it came back.
It was it was also off for a while, and then because I think they had CSI Crime Scene Investigation, then they had CSI Miami, which Miami is also really popular. They had CSI New York with Gary Sinise, which only, I think, did two or three seasons. It wasn't that great. Then they had a CSI, like, cyber show. It was all about cyber crimes. And then that one, I think, was only one season. It just kind of fizzled out. But then I think it's been, like, 8 years, give or take, since the original show ended. It's, like... I think it was like 15 seasons or something.
Oh, wow.
So it's maybe not 15.
Hey, Josh,
I might be.
I told you CSI New York had 9 seasons.
Oh my god!
I would be very very shocked and surprised.
Well, then be shocked and surprised it had 9 seasons.
Oh wow! Okay. I don't know how many CSI had, but that's my number one. I know it was definitely out of left field, but
For sure. I didn't even know it was still
16 seasons. I guess it's only been like 6 years since the show ended. So,
Alex, your winner.
Okay, my winner is Hawkeye.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought Hawkeye was probably one of the cooler, funnier, quippier Marvel things I've done this year. I think Hayley Steinfeld is going to kick so much ass as Kate Bishop.
Oh, I agree. Think,
dude, she is awesome. Just like her facial expressions, her
vocal
inflection, just the way
fantastic.
She acts. She is so great.
Yeah, I hope that they do a movie with her.
They're going to. So this is what I think is happening. I think what Marvel's building up to is the Young Avengers. Because if you keep watching each one of these, at the end of this, somebody's becoming another Avenger or close to it. You have... Yeah. Winter Soldier doing his thing, and then you have the new Captain America.
Yeah.
You have Wanda and her children, which her children are in the Young Avengers. You have now Kate Bishop and Hawkeye. And then in Loki, I don't remember.
Well, remember Loki, but did you watch all of WandaVision or no?
Yes, but no.
Because at the end, her thing is gone. So her kids are gone too. Now, however... It did show her in the after credit scene of her doing her whole multiverse thing, and you heard her kids. So right. they might bring them back eventually. Mm-hmm. But
So I thought that a lot of the humor between Kate Bishop and Clint were very good.
Yeah.
They gave me Kingpin, dude.
Yeah.
Kingpin, come on.
Josh has not seen this.
I'm so sorry, Josh.
But
get over it.
No, I know
okay.
that.
Okay.
That
I also
what
know happens in No Way
so,
with
Vincent D'Onofrio's back
yes,
in Kingpin.
Yes.
And he has said that he is the same Kingpin as that what's in the Daredevil TV show. So,
dude, he is a bad motherfucker. That dude. It,
yes,
I got so happy when he was like, oh, not dude, the not gonna like this
with no spoilers. Not the only Daredevil King.
I know. Yeah. I know that.
So
I know that
I loved Hawkeye, and especially because like all the reviews keep painting Clint as like the least favorite Avenger, the one that no one cares about, and I'm always like, I liked Hawkeye in the Avengers movies. Like I don't know.
Dude, I totally forgot who his wife was. His wife is super famous.
Oh like, yeah, Linda Cardellini. Yeah.
Sure. I was like, oh my god, she's awesome. Like
yeah, she's great.
I thought that if you watch this and if you watch Endgame to watch this and you watch character development of Clint from when he gets back from that one place and homegirl dies.
Yes.
I think that the way he develops his character afterwards is super fucking good.
And so let me ask you, what did you think of the credit scene on the last episode?
Oh, was it the fucking...
It was that play. They did they did the uninterrupted play.
I would watch that. I think
okay, was, sure. I get that.
I wanted an actual thing because I wanted more storytelling.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Okay.
So there is the theory out there that that is actually a teaser for the new Ant-Man movie. Now, here's why. Okay. Now, in the play is of the Battle of New York.
And Ant-Man was never there. Right.
But Ant-Man was not at the Battle of New York, but he was in the play for Battle of New York. Right. So everyone is saying that in the play, the Avengers say stuff that only the Avengers would know that they said. And so the theory is that that Scott Lang helped write the play and he put himself in it so people would know who Ant-Man is.
That's funny. I like that. That'd be
great. Very Scott Lang thing to do.
That is a very Scott Lang
thing. So they think that is the especially because Ant-Man in the play was very front and center when he was there.
Yeah,
when he was on
the camera. I kept noticing that. I was like, why the fuck is he here? Okay. Okay. That's a cool theory. I like that. Because I would totally watch that as a play. I think that was such a funny fucking play.
It was irritatingly catchy.
I could do this. So, god damn, it's so stupid. Yep. I think Hawkeye is a real good representation of what Marvel is, what Marvel can be.
Oh yeah.
And I'm excited to watch Spider-Man, of course, and then everything else that comes out this year. And I was kind of like starting to get some fatigue with Marvel for sure with a lot of these.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really like Loki all that much. It was cool at times, but it was a little like, whatever. Mm-hmm. WandaVision was good, and I really liked Winter Soldier and the Falcon. I thought that was really good too. But this is the one that really like, okay, I'm not tired of this. And I think this is really bringing something fresh, new, and fun. Oh my god, in the fucking trench coat mafia and the trench
mafia god.
Dudes are so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Seeing Natasha's sister in this makes you want to go watch So I have not seen Black Widow, so it makes you want to go watch.
I really like Black Widow. I think it was a cool movie. Yo, stop. She rules too, man.
Yeah.
She's a bad bitch. She's
and that accent is fake, which is crazy because it's a very good Russian accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She fucking rules, dude.
So cool. We got winners for best TV show. We have WandaVision, CSI.
Vegas. She's in Vegas.
She's in Vegas. And Hawkeye. Great. So we're going to move on to the best movie of the year. This does not have to be... Now, the movies I picked were ones that came out this year. I guess they don't technically have to be if you saw it for the first time this year. But I will start. My number three is Red Notice, which came out on Netflix a couple months ago. It had The Rock and Ryan Reynolds in it. And I really loved this movie. It was a cool buddy... like team up thing where they hate each other, and it had have either of you guys seen this?
No.
It had a very you guys need to watch Red Notice. It's a very fun movie, and there is a fantastic twist at the end, which it surprised me. Like they got me. I will not spoil it here. But number three, Josh,
number three. My number three is Fast and Furious 9.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, obviously these movies are just, they're just blockbusters now. Yeah, I mean, they've been blockbusters, but they're also just like, just Michael Bay, just explosions everywhere. And, but it definitely, you know, set up a, it's, you know, going to be Fast 10, which had better be Fast 10, your seatbelts.
Yes.
And so, I mean, there's
gotta be, right? I mean, it's right there. Like, just grab the fruit. It's hanging low. Just grab it.
And, you know, Alex, did you see this movie?
No. Oh, okay. My God.
A lot of, now I don't think they're going to, but some people, a certain car drives up at the very end of the movie, a certain car belonging to an unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know what happens. I wasn't, yes. which car is it? Is the orange one or the green?
It's the blue car that belongs to,
Skyline.
Why can't I think of his name either? The guy who passed away.
Paul Walker.
It's Paul Walker's car.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just implying that they're at a family dinner and then he just drives up to join the dinner.
Yeah, and
it is the Skyline. Okay.
But some people are thinking that they're gonna somehow involve him with maybe not necessarily on camera, but they're gonna like have like his voice or something.
I don't think so, because I mean, I like know, but... he didn't die in canon. So that's why they showed the car. So I don't think,
I think, you know, it was, I think Cena had, you know, I think he did an admirable job. And then I think Charlize Theron also did a pretty good job. So,
Alex, what is your number three?
Number three for me is Black Widow.
Okay.
Well, you know, like I said, a couple of it's a really good movie.
Need to find time to watch this.
I think that was the only movie we watched in theaters like last year. It was a nice movie to like, hey, let's go watch it. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was a fun time to watching. Who the fuck is it? Not David Cage. Who the fuck is who plays the sheriff?
And, David Harbour.
Yeah, David Harbour. Watching him be a superhero is fucking
David
hilarious.
David Cage develops video games.
Yep. Listen, man, I was on the same fucking. It was cool. It's a cool movie. Check out. I think.
I will say I watched that movie at work and I was very happy. I got paid to watch it because.
Oh, you know what? I actually watched it in stores. In the Xfinity store while I was getting a new cell phone. About that. Yeah.
It took that long to get a new cell phone.
I watched like a scene. So maybe.
they need to work in their customer service.
Yeah, welcome to Xfinity.
All right, and that was your three, right?
Yes.
Okay, so my number two is Suicide Squad, the new one.
That is my number one.
Nice. This movie was so good. And Josh, have you seen this yet?
Funny.
No, I have not.
Why? Like you can see it anytime. It is so good. They do
can I? Because it's not. I don't want to pay to see it.
Yet, I have so. HBO Max.
You didn't tell me that.
Like I've had it in a while.
No, because you got rid of it,
did get rid of it a while ago, but I got it a couple months ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So anyway, I love how the beginning of the movie makes you think it's one thing, and then it just like completely scraps it.
I don't give a shit why. If you watch this, you need to watch it for Weasel, and that's it. The bit between him and Pete Davidson. Oh my fucking god!
Yes.
Just when they're on that fucking ship.
I'm gonna say it. I don't care. I'm sorry, Josh. Seeing Pete Davidson get his fucking face blown off just made me so happy.
Oh, it was so
funny. You're fine. Because in no universe, I think Pete Davidson was gonna survive that movie.
Yes. Dude, just like the part where he's like, they're like yelling at each other about Weasel. He's like,
yeah.
Is it a dog? He goes, does it look like
a dog? I have a question. Does Pete Davidson portray himself or is he a character?
He's a character.
Portraying himself. Yeah. Basically.
Even because it just looks like Pete Davidson.
Because for some reason I thought it was just Pete Davidson.
No. I will just say this. Having seen John Cena in Fast 9 and then seeing him in this, made me realize that he just played the wrong character in Fast 9. He's too serious. this is the role kind of role that John Cena is
when him play. And when him and Idris Elba are having that fucking kill off that fucking
yes villain. They John Cena was the fucking MVP of this movie.
Oh,
he
God,
stole
he's so
the show
funny.
And
he's
the
so
fact that they're doing
funny.
A TV show of his character come, yep. that comes out in like a week
a
or
month.
Two
yeah.
I can't wait it's gonna oh, be so good
Jesus.
Yeah, so,
when they get
is...
to the village and they're just like, how did you get past my our guards? They're like, oh, you had guards.
Yeah.
not so
funny. Yeah. So that
okay.
is
my number two,
yeah.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Nice.
You know, yeah. I was you know not gonna go into really any spoilers. And I know Alex is like, you know, I know what happens, but he hasn't seen it. So but it's
yeah, he doesn't know that Spider-Man takes his mask off and it's Goku, all right. Damn it!
Wait,
God damn it!
Finally,
I will. You know, I think it has some really great action sequences. You know, obviously, just knowing from the credits, I'm not credits. From the trailers, everyone knew that Green Goblin was in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, fucking Willem Dafoe just stole the show. He's an amazing
yes.
actor. He did such a great job. So Alex,
they did
a
great
de-aging
job on him.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to see it, Alex, so you can just understand, you know,
yep.
what I'm talking about. But...
Oh yeah.
Alex, you're two.
It's Encanto. I don't know what's happening, but I've watched this movie a million times. All
right, you are having like Stockholm syndrome right now.
You have no idea. But like it's just such a beautiful movie. Like it's so animated so well.
Yeah.
Like the main characters got as many characters they're based in Colombia. His main characters got like a darker complexion with
yeah.
curly hair, just the way that like her facial features and her hair move,
yeah.
it just looks so fucking cool.
You're kind of muffled again, Alex.
Okay, well, better.
Yeah, I think so. Right. This is such a I have a newborn child pick.
Yes, it is. It's just it's a very like mature movie where it's got a lot of like
yeah.
you know family things involved, magic. But it's just like watching it. It's like, oh my God, this thing is so cool. Like right now she's talking and like her hair bouncing and her off her face looks mean. Just it's crazy to see how far we've come in animated
yeah.
shows. Just to watch something like this. It's like,
right?
Oh my God. Like the wrinkles on this woman's face are just fucking amazing. I need to sit down and actually like, watch the plot, but like it's a really
yeah.
cool movie. It's got a lot of nice musical parts, a lot of it's in Spanish. But it's kind of cool that you let people sing in like Spanish
mm-hmm.
about Colombia. Yeah, that's my number two.
Nice. So yeah. my number one is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Perfect.
And it's just because this movie did what all the years of Marvel movies led up to Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
All the Spider-Man movies has led up to Spider-Man No Way Home.
And you mean all of them.
I mean all. And it lands just as heavy as Endgame did for me.
And that's what I want again because
yeah.
the feeling of watching Endgame, dude, it's I can't describe it to anyone. Like I just tell people, hey, watch the Avengers movies and watch Endgame, and you'll understand what I'm talking about because well,
yeah.
it's a whole different experience.
Yep.
Endgame is a literal different experience
yeah.
than watching a normal movie.
And Spider-Man No Way Home is on that level for me. So, Josh, your winner.
My winner, speaking about so many things culminating after so many years. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Really?
Yes, I saw this movie and it was you know and I understand it is what it is. It is a movie made for kids. However, that doesn't mean you know adults can't enjoy
it. Alex just had Encanto as number two. So.
Also, Greg Miller literally lives his life by the codes of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And so, you know, this movie, I was actually in tears at the end of it because they did such a great job honoring, at least
yeah.
in my opinion, honoring Harold Ramis.
Yep,
and
yeah, I definitely need to see it when it
comes
out.
And
on
now I know there's some complaints about the movie. Some people going, you know, it's just the original Ghostbusters but kids. And yeah, it kind of is. But honestly, after waiting so long and just it almost feels like you know like an end, you know, they really ended something on a good note.
I mean, Star Wars Episode 7 was just Episode 4 again, so
yeah. But you know, that was kind of like they're starting a new trilogy. You know, from all intents and purposes, they're not starting a new trilogy of Ghostbuster movies.
No, but they want to do more Ghostbuster movies after this.
Yeah,
one, so.
But we'll see when
yeah.
and how
yeah.
long it takes them to do it. But
right.
So. Yeah, cool. It's been number one. So.
Yeah, Alex, nice. You're number one. You're winner.
It was Suicide Squad.
Nice.
Yep.
So we have winners for best movie of the year. We have Spider-Man: No Way Home, Ghostbusters: Afterlife, and Suicide Squad. I think we're going to move on to, I'll just go in order here, most anticipated game of next year.
I only had one for this.
So what?
Because I thought you didn't put most anticipated games, you just did game.
But it's a category. Yeah, so okay. Fine. Semantics aside, I forgot to add an S. All right, so I guess I have it. Andrew, give me your three. Well, here's my three. It's God of War Ragnarok. I mean, it's God of War. What else can I say? My number two is Starfield.
Okay.
I think that hopefully this is like the real next experience of a Bethesda Studios game. And I'll just go, my winner is Horizon Forbidden West.
So I've been you know, my number one is not that, but I thought about putting Horizon there because I keep seeing enough about it, like more and more about it, and it just keeps intriguing me because of how well the first game was. Like, what is this next game going to be? You know what I'm saying?
It looks like such a leap. This honestly to me looks like the Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 2 leap.
Yeah,
and I am so excited for this game, and it's we can officially say it comes out next month.
That's insane.
Yes,
next month.
This is finally so like hard. The first big PS5 exclusive. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like the first marquee game to come out on the PS5. So Josh, you're a winner.
So it's Starfield, and
nice.
So the reason I picked this is because the last time there's a new sci-fi IP made by a big marquee developer that was going to come out was all the way back in 2007 when Mass Effect came out. And I remember like I really like put everything into it. Like, this game is going to be amazing. And it turned out being amazing. I'm like, I'm doing the same thing for Starfield. Like, I am so excited for this game.
They're different. Like, BioWare was a story based.
No, I'm not looking at this for the same reasons, but I'm looking at this as, you know, Elder Scrolls and Fallout, at least Fallout 3. Were in New Vegas as well, but just when I play those, they're so magic all the time, and I'm really hoping that Bethesda Game Studios can capture that magic again.
I agree. I think why it's my top one is because it's the first new IP that they've had in 20 something years.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
long time. And I'm more excited about that. They're not beholden to any tropes. They don't have to follow any guidelines. They have to follow any story or plot or lore.
That's true.
Make anything up that's brand new.
Yep.
And as long as it's good, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of gets me excited. Like, I understand that people have problems with some of the newer, you know. I mean, there's no new Elder Scrolls game except for Elder Scrolls Online, if that's what you want to call a continuation. Sure. But, you know, Fall 4 is kind of divisive. I'm really excited to see what can they do. What new stories can they give us? And what new adventures can they take us on? What, you know, what exactly are we in for?
Yeah, I mean.
And it's just weird because, like, again, I know what I'm getting in Elder Scrolls 6. I'm getting a high fantasy dragon, maybe not dragon, high fantasy killing game. What am I getting in Fallout? Well, I'm going to Houston, Texas.
Yeah, Alex, your voice is getting really bad again.
Okay, I think I'm walking too far with my phone. You know, in Fallout, I'm going to another ruined area. It's going to be fun, good time. But this, it's like, hey, I'm going to space in something that they never talked about. What the?
Yeah, honestly, we don't even know. Like, are we gonna be able to planet hop? Like, are we gonna be like? Yeah, we don't know.
It's just the possibilities are endless. And you know what? I'll say this: I'm even 100% okay if they have to delay this game. I'm okay with that Because
I don't think they will. I think they're pretty confident.
I don't think
confident.
So either. I think they've been doing this for a while. I think they've been building this game for a while.
Yeah.
And I think it might not be 100% because it's a Bethesda game.
I mean, all the industry people that know, they're in the know, say that it was supposed to come out last year, but because of the pandemic pushed it to this year. Right. So.
I think that when it gets closer to time, I think this is going to be a massive event. I think it's going to be a huge thing in the industry. I don't know if it's going to be like, you know, genre changing. I do hope and think that it might be a storytelling, like it kind of pushes the folds of storytelling, because this is, you know, this is using years of Bethesda's storytelling along with already modern told stories of space adventures. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy. I'm so
guess what? PlayStation players can't play it, bitches. Get shit on, Sony. Oh,
fuck yourself. You fucking losers. Xbox.
So my last comment would be, you know, Bethesda Game Studios had a hat trick. They had Morrowind Game of the Year, Oblivion Game of the Year, Fallout 3 Game of the Year. It's time for the king to get her crown back.
I don't know. It's going to be a hard year.
I know.
But hang on.
What, can you imagine, like, more this big dick energy? Just this year, so many games coming out that they come out and just let it hang. And they're like, and everyone's like, yes, game of the year.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I did not put Breath of the Wild 2 or whatever they end up calling it, because I'm not 100% certain it's going to hit this year.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't put on this list. But can you imagine a year to where the new God of War, Starfield, Breath of the Wild 2, Horizon Forbidden West, Elden Ring, like all these games coming out that probably if they were to come out in 21 would have won Game of the Year.
Yes, anyway,
it's insane. So that's great. So our most anticipated game, we have the winners is Horizon Forbidden West and Starfield. Moving up, we have favorite soundtrack. Do you only do one for this one too, Josh?
No, I have three.
Oh, so you saw a favorite soundtrack with no S and thought, oh, I'll pick three games for that one.
I couldn't really think of soundtracks entirely. I just thought of one.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just giving Josh shit. How many? You have three, Josh?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and give our two and three. So my three is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Good one.
I mean, even though it's a licensed soundtrack, I thought they did a fantastic job of putting those songs in certain places in the game. Like doing a fight and hearing Wang Chung going on is pretty cool. Going through space and coming up on a cutscene and hearing White Wedding playing was pretty cool. That's my number three. Josh, your three.
My number three is Kena Bridge of Spirits. I think that had just such a cute just soundtrack.
Yeah,
just really great little sounds whenever you get one of the rot. Went in combat, had really good ambiance music, and just, you know, such a cute game, but it had, you know, a lot of great sound effects.
My runner up is also Kena Bridge of Spirits, and for every reason Josh just said. So your number two, Josh?
Halo Infinite. I think that they did a really great job of bringing in Marty O'Donnell's score as well as bringing in new music. And I there's certain moments, especially when you're going to battle and you're hearing like the, you know, the dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. And I was like, yes, I'm, you know, Halo's back. And it was great.
Yeah. Alex, your winner for favorite soundtrack.
It is Forza. Forza just has such great joy in the music.
Yeah, Forza's always so good at their soundtrack. Yeah,
it's like a lot of it's in Spanish, and it just like fits the atmosphere, fits the scenery. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. The Applicant. It's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. hearing this the music in that game. I mean, it won best soundtrack at the Game Awards. Mm-hmm. And it is still to this day, like, there's the song in the Overworld, how at the beginning of the game all you hear is the instrumental part of it, and then when you get to the middle part of the game you actually hear like the woman singing with it. And fun fact about that game is I don't remember the guy's name that produces or that directs the game, but anyway, he actually had a new language made up for the game. And so that is what the song is sung in, because he said if it was sung in like English, he didn't want it to distract the players, because you'd be worried about what are they saying. So because it's the language that you don't understand, you're not worrying about like what are they saying. So, but it's also like one of the most beautiful like songs I've ever heard in the game. It's fantastic. So that's my winner. Josh, you're a winner.
My winner is Guardians of the Galaxy. No, you can be like, it's a licensed soundtrack.
But yeah, it's whatever. I mean, Alex is just technically licensed.
Not only that, but it's the unlicensed music that they do. Just the instrumental stuff is really good as well. I will say my only one complaint is they're missing one great 80s song, and that would have been perfect for this. And they're missing Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas.
That's probably an expensive song to get, though.
Yeah, probably. But other than that, just a great soundtrack. And like what you said, I love doing the huddles when you save them up. And then you get like this, you know, badass rock riff in the background when you're just.
That sucks. Is like I never did the huddle, so I never got that. So.
So when you do the huddles, though, you need to choose the right choice. Otherwise, a song comes on, but it's not as much of a good song. So.
Yep. All right. So favorite soundtrack, we have the winners is Guardians of the Galaxy, Near Replicant, and Forza Horizon 5. Moving on to best game that you played that did not release this year. You guys have three on this one?
I have one.
I have three.
Okay. My three is Mario 3D World.
Okay. Plus Bowser's Fury.
No, because Bowser's Fury is technically a new game part of it, so that's not included. So this is just the old part of the game. Your three, Josh?
Mirror's Edge came out in 2009, I think it was. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I completed that just like a month ago. Great game, great parkour game.
My number two is technically a cheat, but it is Breath of the Wild. Putting like another 40 hours of that into the game earlier in the year just really just cemented it in my like top 10 games of all time, and like one of the best games of all time. It is just, it's so good. Josh, your two?
Condemned Criminal Origins. That was always on my bucket list, and I played through that this year. And
I think that's just... Alex's one, right?
just a great just atmospheric first person brawler that also has a little bit of shooting. It's such a shame that I don't remember the guy's name offhand, but there's like some guy that owns the rights, and this was like probably 3 years ago. He was shopping out trying to get someone to do a remaster, and I don't think anyone wanted to. It sucks.
We'll go Alex, your winner.
My winner is The Elder Scrolls Online, and it will be for a long time.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, it didn't release this year, so it counts.
No, I mean, they did release an expansion, but it's just an older game. This is my, it's my World of Warcraft replacement. I realized
that, nice.
As of late. I don't have any business playing any World of Warcraft anymore. I don't really care about the world or the people.
Yeah.
And the company's kind of falling apart. And they haven't really given me anything good in years. So when I started playing this, I played this in 2015. I played it a little bit. I played it here and there every year. For the last 2 years, I've really gotten into it. Last year, I leveled a max character. This year, I leveled a max character. This upcoming year, I will do another max character just so I can have.
Let me ask you something. Are you really far away from your phone?
I was there for a hot minute. I walked away to throw something away. But yeah, I covered it. Okay. I keep forgetting. I'm dumb.
What if you put your phone in your pocket?
You're not dumb.
I'm not smart. Elder Scrolls Online has done what World of Warcraft did for me as a kid, and I like that feeling.
Have you put any money in the game, or has it all been free?
No, besides buying the expansions, no, I've never spent a dollar. Okay. I've maybe spent like, oh, here's a dollar for a loot box or something.
For some armor.
Yeah, definitely. Double.
Is this the game that's going to get you when they come out with Elder Scrolls NFTs?
Yeah.
I can't wait. Actually, you know what? It's the only game where NFTs make fucking sense. Like, hey, do you want a sick bow? Yeah, okay, we can have it on your account. That's cool. Yeah. Actually, if you really think about it, NFTs are already a thing in World of Warcraft. You can get like heirloom armor where you can transfer it between like your account.
Essentially, Peter, he's converting.
Yeah.
Oh, God, please kill me. Oh, yes, yep. Elder Scrolls Online.
Yes, nice. Fine. My winner is Prey. Now, this is like the 2017 Prey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, but I did play through the original Prey this year as well.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
But yeah, the new Prey turned out to be like just so fantastic. It was very similar to like a BioShock, I guess. But it was just arcane at like some of their best. I didn't realize how good of a story that game was going to have, but the story was so fantastic. And some of the places you go in the powers you get with the aliens, it was just really fucking fun. Josh, your winner?
My winner is Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. I actually started this back in January of last year, and I finished it in March. I put like I think it was like 65 hours into it, and I got the platinum. Nice. And I just one of the actually the best Dragon Ball Z game I've ever played, and I loved it, and I can only hope for a sequel. I don't know if we'll ever get one in that vein, of the type of game. But just a game that has such a great, just really fun grind to it, and it was just so fun to play through all the sagas and everything. And I only have good things to say about the game. I loved it.
I think Alex gave his. So winners for best game that you played that did not release this year. We have Prey, Elder Scrolls Online, and what the fuck Josh just talked about?
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Everybody
forgot. That's great.
I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is just going in one year, not the other.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the time and realizing that we have like 25 minutes before it's going to cut us off. So we have to
finish up here.
Next category, we have best character. Do we all have three for this?
I have four, but yeah.
I thought best remaster was next, but
I probably had them. I've
written down. That's fine. I have three.
So my third is I have the weapon from Halo Infinite. I thought she was a cool like Cortana 2, Cortana with the K, however you want to say it. I thought she was pretty cool. So far, I have not beaten the game yet. So, Alex, you're three.
Okay. So I'm not going to do mine until you guys do yours, because mine are all, they're not individual characters, they're all, it's Ratchet, Clank, Rivet, and Kit, all together.
Okay, well. I mean, yeah, you could do like an ensemble.
Yeah, so okay. I'll just do that. So Ratchet, Clank, Rivet, and Kit, because the way they played off of each other and the way you could play with them all in Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart really made that game fun, and I really think it kind of propulsed a lot of the other stuff that kind of sometimes is pretty bland, like some levels.
Yeah, they're great characters.
Yes, I think all four of them together, when you're playing, you have Kit with Ratchet sometimes, you know, the other one, blah, 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 blah. I think it was just all such a well meshed together storyline and character.
So those are your four?
Yeah. Yeah.
So out of those four, if you had to pick one as your winner, what would you pick?
Rivet, I think.
Rivet,
I think I like playing a lot of Rivet's levels, and I think her like storyline's pretty cool.
Nice.
But I think that game wouldn't have been a great if you had only three. Ratchet and Clank, or really Rivet and Kit. But I think all four together, when they had their moments on screen, when they're all off, I think it was just really well written. I think it was really good characters to put in that game.
Josh, you're three.
My number three is Drax. I think he's a straight shooter, and he doesn't realize that what he's saying is funny. And I just I've laughed so many times. Like one moment when him and Peter Quill are staring out into the edge of the universe, and Peter's like, "You ever think about just flying off in there?" And Drax's like, "I do not acquire the proper appendages for flight." And he's like, "No, I mean flying in a ship." And he goes, "That would be foolhardy."
Yeah. He was really funny in it.
Oh, that's good.
My number two is Lady Dumbledore.
That's my number two as well.
Yeah. Oh, aww. Nice. Twins.
You guys are twins. Oh my.
I mean, what can I say? It's big vampire lady. Like.
Yeah.
Do it.
Alex, real quick, did you play Resident Evil?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have Alex already gave his winner with Rivet. So Josh, what is your winner?
My number one is the weapon. I found her so charming, and I can't wait to see what the future is with her.
Cool. My winner is Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, I thought that her character arc was just fantastic, the way that she's just like a hard, like, not for the I'm going to use the cliche thing here of, like, when you peel back the layers of the onion, like, she just starts off, like, a really stern and hard woman, and then just the more you peel back and you learn that, like, when she killed her sister and how that's still, like, she carries the weight of that.
Spoilers, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks a lot.
All right, well... I'm not gonna say anything more. I'm sorry. Yeah, but she's really great in the game. There's stuff later in the game to where she has some.
Oh,
really
I bet there is.
I think that, like, getting so you can like find collectibles for each of the characters, and you talk to them in their like their rooms on the ship, and they'll give you backstory on items. And I think her items are really cool that you get the backstory for. I'm sorry. So next we have winners for best character. We have Gamora, Rivet, and the weapon from Halo. So next we have best remaster.
I only have two because my third option would have been one of the Grand Theft Autos, and I was not putting any of those on
here.
Okay,
that's fine.
I only have one, but I think I only played one.
Okay. So my three is Doki Doki Literature Club Plus.
Okay. I didn't know that was a remaster.
Yeah, this it was a remaster of the, because it originally came out on PC, and then it was like a remastered and put out in the console this year. I still think about this game like all the time. It was fucked up, some of the shit that happened in this game. But if you guys ever just want, like, this game, it only takes a couple hours to beat, like for the first time, and if it's cheap a lot of times too, like it's a good play just watch some fucked up shit. My number two is Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD. I got to play a Zelda that I've never beaten before, and the fact that they took the motion controls out of it actually made it a game worth playing. So not much else I can say other than that. So, Alex, you're number. You said you only had one, right?
Yes.
Josh, you're number two.
My number two is Diablo 2. I put.
Oh yeah, I forgot that came out this year.
Yeah, I have not. I haven't done a playthrough on it, but I'm at like level like low 20s of a character, and I definitely really enjoyed what I put through it. It's definitely Diablo 2 thick, you know, for better or worse, but. I'll go back to it at some point.
Nice. Alex, your winner.
I'm assuming this is by Josh too. Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Nice.
I kind of specified further and just the first Mass Effect.
Yeah, that's the only one I played. So no,
okay.
So that's also my number one. Also.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad we're all
yeah.
agreeing with you. That was the best remaster.
Yeah.
And
That's the one that honestly I played a little bit of Mass Effect 2, but Mass Effect 1 is the one that really felt like a remaster. Like they did a lot of work that game.
Yeah,
it looks like almost not like a completely different game, but like it looks something like you compared to something
modern almost. So winner, Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Wow! Congratulations.
Yep, and then game of the year. So I know what when you said you had 10 for this.
Yeah. So you said we're running low on time. So
let's we're gonna knock this down to five.
Let's do that. We got about 18 minutes.
Yeah. So my number five is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Okay.
It was a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. It's a game that I can easily say it wasn't too long and it wasn't too short. I was very happy with the time I spent with it. Alex, you're number five.
Give me 1 second. Josh, you go real quick.
Josh, you're number five.
I didn't have a five, but I'll throw one in there. Forza Horizon 5.
Okay. I'll do my unpacking.
Oh, nice. Really
fun, really fun, calm game. I'm glad I,
Stay a fantastic Game Pass game.
Honestly. Yep.
Yes.
It solidifies with what I like about Game Pass.
Yep. My number four is Nier Replicant. This was it's crazy. They called it a remaster. Mm-hmm. But to me, it felt so much more like this was a remake. Because just the way the game looks is, I would have thought it was a current gen game. And current gen is in PS4. And not a remaster of a PS3 game. And they did so much to change the way it looks. And they completely changed the battle system to feel like Nier Automata. It definitely felt like a full-on remake than a remaster. And I fucking loved playing that game. It was so fun. Josh, four.
Kena, Bridge of Spirits. Nice. I still haven't beaten it yet, but I'm actually pretty close to the end, so I feel comfortable putting that at number four.
Thanks.
And just really a really fun cute game.
Alex, you're four.
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Nice. My number three is Halo Infinite.
Nice.
That's my number three as well.
Wow, nice. This is ridiculous. You guys need to be brothers or something.
Yeah. Alex, you're Trace. See, you're watching that movie, so you know what that means.
Forza Horizon
Five.
Yep, I think it's a special. Yeah, Forza Horizon 5.
Love for him. My number two is Forza Horizon 5.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Nice for that.
Josh, you're number two.
My number two is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. Nice. I really love playing through that, and it's definitely a testament. I went through and I got a platinum, and I cannot wait for the next Ratchet and Clank.
Also the platinum.
Yeah. Alex, you're number two.
My number two is Kena: Bridge of Spirits. Kena: Bridge of Spirits gave me huge vibes of just an old school adventure game that you didn't really need to sink a lot of time into. That was in and out in 20, 25 hours, however long it took you to get collectibles and stuff. But it was just a nice, fun adventure, beautiful game, great soundtrack, like you guys said before. I really hope they do, a DLC or a sequel or something, because I would love to play more of this game.
Yeah.
My biggest concern with that is that they do a sequel and they end up really bloating it with, content that doesn't need to be in there.
Yeah, that's true. But but also, I think just the way they built this game really showed that they know what makes a good single player game.
Yeah.
So why I would trust them to make another one like it.
And now for the winners, my game of the year is
Game of the Year, boys.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No surprise there. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you made it.
No spoilers, please.
Yeah, I know. And I do apologize about that. But no, also, okay. It is, if you would have told me 3 months ago, dude, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be your game of the year, I'd be like, you are fucking on drugs or something, because there's no way I'm playing that game. But seeing the great reviews of it when it came out, and then seeing my roommate play it, and I was like, I have to play this game. And it just turned out to be such a great it is so cool how they just pull in the awesome gameplay of getting the other guardians to doing their moves or whatever. The awesome how it feels at certain parts of the game, like Mass Effect 1, is so cool. The story the writing in this game is so on point. Just the way that the guardians interact with each other, that you would think that, like, man, that's just going to be grating. It's going to get so annoying, and it doesn't, because the writing is so good.
And you know what? I was anticipating this game. It just never caught my radar, because I just heard not great stuff from just the actual, you know, people that played it. And yeah. Hearing you guys talk about it, it just keeps, like, it's just like, okay, I have to play this. Like,
yeah,
there's something about this game that just
sure. And it is also just a fantastic single player game. I cannot stress that enough. That it just feels like a classic, just enjoyable 20-hour single player game. And I so hope they do a sequel to this. There's so much cool things that they can do. The Easter eggs, like, this is the Easter eggs they get into this game is just like Arkham City when you played it for the first time and you saw all the cool Batman references. There's just so much cool, like Guardians references, or just like even like Marvel references, you know, everywhere in the game. There is a just an insanely good credit scene in this. That it's not like a like holy shit, like a new enemy credit scene. It's just like a funny credit scene that's like so small in what it's trying to do, but it's just so funny.
Is it like kind of like at the end of Avengers when they're all eating shawarma?
Pretty much like that, yeah. But yeah, it's really good. I can't say enough good things about this game. Alex, your game of the year.
My game of the year is Halo Infinite.
Nice.
You know, we talked about it earlier. I said all the things I wanted to say about it. But I think the best part about this is how much the multiplayer has really gripped me. I'm staying up late on some work nights. I'm staying up late on the weekends playing it with my friends. I stayed up on New Year's Eve playing it all night until the clock. So 12 the other night, I played until about 1. Like, it's doing what older Halo games did for me. It's what other first-person shooters like Call of Duty have done for me. It's just, it's really giving me a platform to enjoy with my friends while also having a good time, while also being good at it. And I'm not just, like, toting my own horn, but, like, I keep up with myself. I'm constantly in the top 2 to 4. I love it. It's just such a fun game. Nice. The campaign really drew me in, and it gave me what last year's game of the year for me did, Immortals Fenyx Rising, which was just a fun, you know, just a fun environment, fun area to be in. It does get samey at times. It does look kind of the same, but once you're out exploring in the open world of Zeta Halo, it just, you know, my mind wanders, my mind, like, just kind of like the possibilities of what can be done here, what is currently being done here. It's a great game. It has its flaws, but I think it is my game of the year this year.
Yeah, great. Josh, your game of the year.
It is Resident Evil Village. I keep thinking about this game and how much fun I had with it, and how much I really agree with so many people who are like, this is just Resident Evil 4 in first person. And it's just with all the great set pieces, all the great characters, you know, like Lady Domitress, and, you know, I like Ethan as a main character. I like the
but you like hate him, right? Because he really is a whiny bitch.
He is. But then the thing is that he, toward the end of the game, he really finds himself, and then he gets this whole, all right, it's fucking go time attitude about him. Which,
that dude needs to protect his hand better, though. Yeah. Come on.
Well, without spoiling anything, they actually explain why that happens too.
Yeah, they do. And I recently heard what the hell goes on in that game, and what the fuck?
Yeah, I need to get back and play that game. Like, I need to actually beat it.
I thought the boss battle was pretty good. It didn't overstay its welcome. The end of the game was pretty fucking wild, and they definitely left it open. Like, you know, obviously there's gonna be another Resident Evil game, but
wait, what, really?
Yeah, but they kind of, you know, left the story open. they left the story open ended a little bit as which they could close that with DLC and stuff. But
you mean they won't stop at Resident Evil 8?
I know it's so crazy. I thought the beginning of the game, especially with the werewolves, it was just it was really harrowing, and one of the best like moments I had in that game was toward the beginning when you're walking through like a cornfield and you just hear werewolves around you, and you know they're there, and you're just waiting because you know they're gonna ambush you.
Yeah. Yep. That's great. So our game of the year winners goes to Resident Evil 8, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Halo Infinite.
My vote counts as two, so Resident Evil Village wins.
All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap on our second annual Game of the Year show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will there be a third? There will be a third. Stay tuned to find out.
Please. Before we go, I just want to say, nice talking to you guys. I'm not like leaving or anything. I really miss talking to y'all. I'm really glad we're getting back in the swing of things. I'm glad everything is getting better.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for this one this year holds. There's so many great games coming out very soon.
Oh, yeah,
this whole year is going to be just so much fun. And I cannot wait to talk to you guys about it.
Yeah. And I mean, this podcast really is like one of the highlights of my week.
It's so much fun doing this. Like, yeah. I just like miss doing it. Like, this is so much fun. I cannot wait to keep talking to you guys about the next new thing we play.
Definitely.
The next new thing we play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't wait, guys. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah, video games are cool.
Yeah, they are. Let's go play some video games.
Yeah.
I will talk to you guys next week.
Yep. All right. Later.
Peace.